For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Praise the Lord. Tonight, let's open up in prayer as we come around the Word of God in the presence of God. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for sending your word, and specifically for sending your word into our lives, that we might be built up to do what you want us to do, that we might have faith to have what you want us to have, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight we're looking at God's health for his people. God's health for his people. And remarkably, if you were to hear some Christians and the way they speak, and some churches and the way they preach, you would think that there is nothing in the Bible about healing and health. And that to me has always been a puzzling thing, because the Bible is absolutely full of things about healing and strength and health and God's blessing for his people. And tonight we're going to learn a little bit more about God's health for his people, that we might have faith to go through life not putting up with things which we know to be of the curse or of the devil, but to see that God wants his people strong and healthy. There's many scriptures that talk about that. I'm going to quote a little bit later 3 John. In 3 John 2, we know that God, the Bible says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So there has to be a prosperity of the soul for you to also be in health. Be, that's a state of being there. Let's have a look, first of all, at Exodus 23, verses 22 to 26. Exodus 23. 22 to 26. Now, one thing that we need to understand about health is it's not just the absence of sickness. It's not just the absence of sickness. You can be a person who is not sick, but is barely able to move and to do what God wants you to do in your life. That's not victory. God wants us to prosper and be in health. Those two go together. And if you're prospering and in health together, then yes, sickness will be taken from the midst of you as you follow certain principles in the Lord, as you do what God wants you to do. But also there'll be the manifestation of health in your life. And that manifests in strength and resistance to illness and disease and all types of infirmity. That resistance is what will come up into our hearts by faith as we believe the word of God. But yes, we must see that God is the healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. But let's read through Exodus 23, verses 22 to 26, and note what it says here, starting from verse 22. "But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." Can you see? The Bible's not just saying, "I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." It's not saying that without any conditions attached to it. It is God's will for us to not have sickness in our midst. And he's talking specifically to each single person here, because he's using the word thee. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee, away from you, away from me, away from our midst. But notice, if you go back, verse 22, it says, if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak. See, God's wanting a people that are hearkening to his word, that take his word as truth, and take his word as not just something that tickles the ear, something that's nice to hear, but as very precious to them. And as they're devoted to the fear of the Lord, they say, Lord, if you've said it, I believe it, and I'll do it and put it into operation in my life. I will do what you want me to do. Now, by doing that, you can see that God is able to then do things for you as you respond to him. Because it says in verse 22, then, what's the then? Well, then, that is, after you've obeyed his voice and done what has been spoken, and Jesus reiterated this when he talked about building your house upon his words, so we can see that the building of our life upon his words is very, very important. It says, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Now, one of the major enemies against you, of course, is the devil and his minion, the devils. And they're at the back of oppression, because the Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So as you start to see that the word of God applies to you, and you should be doing what God says, you should be believing it and acting in faith, and if Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, you don't take that as an optional extra, or if he says, be careful for nothing, you don't think that that's an optional thing to do, but you say, no, that's the very truth of God that I'm to put into my life. Those type of things. If he says, walk by faith and not by sight, that's the thing that's not an option, but it's a commandment to you for you to do. It says, then God will be an enemy to your enemies, and that includes the devil. And so then he can do something about oppression in your life. And you can see that there were various enemies coming and oppressing the Israelites here. But you notice that verse 24 is talking about, and something very applicable to us, not conforming to the world, not conforming to the enemies of God. There's a lot of that conformity going on, but there's only one true conformity, one good conformity for Christians, and that is to conform to the image of Christ. That's what the scripture says in Romans 8. So we must be people that conform to the image of Christ. Christ was perfectly obedient. He is our example. He listened to the voice of the Father. He heard what God said, and he would do it. You can see that right through his ministry. And so we are to be the same type of people. And we are to do the works of God. We are to go forward and do what God wants us to do. Because that's what it says in verse 25, and ye shall serve the Lord your God. Well, that doesn't mean sit down and do nothing, does it? It means you're doing what God wants you to do in your life. You're, with all your might, loving God. You're applying yourself. You're using what God has given you. He has given you might if you're a born-again person. And notice, when all of this clicks together, there's this wonderful promise. He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. This provision of healing, this provision of getting the sickness taken out of your midst, out of the midst of you, because God is an enemy to your enemies. That's a wonderful promise for us to hold on to. Have a look at Deuteronomy 7 verse 15. Deuteronomy 7 verse 15. We see a similar scripture here. And what it says is, And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Okay, so we see that God will be an enemy to your enemies. Okay, those that want to curse you, that includes the devils, it's going to backfire on them. It's going to backfire on them. You see, God wants to take, and he will take away from thee all sickness, but he calls diseases evil. Can you see that? We should never think of diseases, dis-ease, that is coming against the ease of your body, your comfort of your body, the strength of your body. God doesn't see that as good. There's many scriptures which talk about that. I mentioned one before about Christ healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So sickness, disease, infirmity, it's not of the Lord. God wants us strong right to the end of our life. He wants us not to have sickness in our midst. That's his will. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases upon you. And those evil diseases are attached to the curse, okay? Attached to the curse. This is where conformity to the image of Christ is so very important. Not conformity to the world. The whole world lieth in wickedness, the Bible tells us. And because the whole world lieth in wickedness, it is connected to the curse. The conformity to the world is the worst thing a Christian could do. It gives ground for the enemy to come in. But conformity to Christ is the best thing a Christian can do, because it gives ground for the Lord to come in and to be your defence and shield. Because conformity to Christ means you'll be a faith person. You'll be standing by faith, living by faith, speaking by faith, believing God's word continually. We have to see where sickness and disease lies. It lies underneath, under the curse. Let's just look at one scripture related to that. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. So go ahead a little bit further in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And then you can go and you can read about some of the things that will come as a judgment on sin, as a judgment that is even now, right to this day, part of the curse. Now, it's very, very important for us to see that if you do hearken to the voice of the Lord, that gives ground for the Lord coming in to your life, doing what he wants to do, which is to take sickness from the midst of you, to make sure that you're robust in health. Because, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. There is a responsibility on us. Christ has paid the price to redeem us from the curse of the law. You know, that God, by his grace, has provided that. It's by faith that we take hold of that. We lay hold of that. We believe, we receive it. We take hold of it. Praise the Lord. So let's have a look at 3 John, verses 1 to 4. 3 John, verses 1 to 4. And God is a wonderful God. He has provided for his people blessings. Blessings. He has blessed his people through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in becoming a curse for us. He has blessed his people, and that blessing, the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It makes us rich, spirit, soul, and body. Praise the Lord. 3 John, and we'll start from verse 1 and we'll go to verse 4. Because, once again, what is soul prosperity? How can we be in a state where sickness is taken from the midst of us and we are in health. Now notice what it says here. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So there's a key word, truth. And in the truth, they're key words. Remember this. Verse 2, a scripture we know very well, but we should know it off by heart now. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So you can see the Apostle John here is showing what the will of God is, that above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health. And he talks about your soul, your mind, will and emotions, prospering in the Lord, and he connects it with being in the truth being in thee, in you, even as you walk in the truth. So walking in the truth, walking in God's word, thy word is truth. He connects that soul prosperity with that. So does God want us to be in health? Yes, he does. As it says there, and be in health. Be. It's a state of being. In health. Be in health. So we saw before, God wants to take sickness from the midst of you. You can't have sickness and be in health at the same time. So he wants to take sickness from the midst of you. He wants you to be walking in the truth. Walking in the truth so that your soul can prosper. And you can be in health. Can you see what we're saying here tonight? This is very important. Because the Lord has health for his people. He has health for his people. His people now have to take hold of that, have to grasp it, because it's taken by faith. It's believed for by faith. It's provided by grace. Salvation is provided by God's grace. Okay? So let's have a look at a few more scriptures about health for God's people. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 8. Let's have a look at that. Proverbs 3, 5 to 8. God is building up his people tonight. He's wanting to show you that as you walk in the truth, you can be built up. You can be built up so that you're resistant to sickness, you're resistant to infirmity, resistant to disease. And you know, by walking by faith, walking in the truth, you know what to do if, for example, a symptom comes. You don't just say, oh, woe is me, I'm getting this, whatever it is. But no, you know what to do. And that's where the knowledge of God, the prospering of the soul, comes in place. Now we're looking at Proverbs 3. And we'll start from verse 5. And we'll go to verse 8 of Proverbs 3. And we read here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The heart is the inner man. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Can you see there's something that has to be present in your life if you want this that the Lord has promised? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So here we see that there's something happening in the inner man. As it says there, because it's talking about trusting in the Lord with all thine heart, leaning not to thine own understanding. This is what's happening in the inner man. God is doing a work in the inner man as you are doing the trusting. He's not doing the trusting for you. Okay? It's you that's got to lean not to your own understanding. You might have had a sickness and And you might say, well what's been happening? I've been doing what God wants me to do. Well, you know, look, you've got to lean not to your own understanding about this, but you lean to what God has to say. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And you say, well, Lord, if there's anything that I need to do, show me. Show me. Please show me in the name of Jesus. And then as he speaks to your heart, as it says in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He'll show you. He'll show you if something has to be corrected. Okay? He'll show you if you're not walking by faith properly. A lot of people don't get to that. They start to blame God or blame other people. But no, we need to look into our hearts and see, is there something that needs to be fixed, needs to be changed? And do I need to hear what's been spoken to me? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Well, we saw before when we read in Deuteronomy, for example, in Exodus, that we can't be agreeing with the enemies of God or agreeing with the things that are opposite to the word of God and think that that's the right way to go. We can't be like that at all. We can't be wise in our own eyes. We've got to fear the Lord. We've got to depart from evil. And that way will be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Have a look at Proverbs 4 verse 22. Proverbs 4, 22. Well, we'll start from verse 20. We're talking about God's health for his people. It's available today. We're going to pray, if anyone wants prayer at the end of this, because I know that the Lord is building us up in our knowledge and understanding, and our faith is rising up as we hear the word of God, as we believe it. Mix the hearing with faith. My son, attend to my words. You've got to pay attention. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. There has to be something changed in the heart of people for there to be things changed in the body or in the soul. Has to be a work in the heart. And one thing that's very important is to get that word into the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. It's not talking about just some of your flesh, it's all your flesh. And as you believe the word, you should be speaking the word. We know what the spirit of faith does. I believe and therefore do I speak. That's what the scripture tells us. So if you believe the word, you see what God is saying, you say, thank you, Lord. You are the strength of my life. Thank you, Lord. You are my healer. Thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. Thank you that I'm blessed and not cursed. Thank you, Lord, that you take sickness from the midst of me. Glory to God. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You know, the Bible says that those that seek the Lord, God makes them to prosper. So God also makes us to be in health as we seek the Lord. They go together. Glory to God. Have a look at Proverbs 16 verse 24. Now remember what I said about the spirit of faith. Spirit of faith. Spirit of faith. I believe and therefore I speak. I believe and therefore I speak. Now, you must be, as a Christian, very clear about this, that your words matter. By thy words, you are justified. By thy words, you are condemned. In other words, there is death and life in the power of the tongue. You have to understand that if you ever want to walk in victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to see that you've got to get your tongue, that little member, correct in the Lord. As it says here in Proverbs 16, verse 24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul. No more pleasant words than God's words, and that's sweet to the soul. Do you think that's going to cause your soul to prosper? Yes. It's pleasant to your soul. It's sweet to your soul. And health to the bones. Health to the bones. It's health to all your flesh, we saw it before. Here's another scripture saying there is a connection between that word of God in your heart, in your life, and health manifested in your body as well. Jeremiah 8, verse 22. Let's have a look at that. Jeremiah 8, 22. Now God is saying to his people, look, this is available. This is available. But there's, right across the body of Christ at the moment, people acting in all the contrary ways as though it's not available. Now that is very dangerous, because the salvation provided by the Lord Jesus Christ was a full salvation. A full salvation, not just forgiveness of sins. Okay? But the benefits of salvation cover healing and strength and deliverance and freedom in all aspects of our life. Jeremiah 8, verse 22. 8:22. It says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? You know, as I said before, people, well, many Christians are acting as though there's no balm in Gilead or in the church. There's no physician, that is, the Lord as healer present. And the question, why then is not the health of my people, of the daughter of my people recovered, is a good question. Why? It comes down to, is the word coming into the midst of the heart? Is the word preached? Is the word taught? Are the people believing? Are the people receiving? Do they understand about the prosperity of the soul? Do they understand about hearing and obeying the words of the Lord? Do they understand about the full salvation provided in the Lord Jesus Christ? All of this is relevant. All of this is relevant so that we can walk in the truth. Now there's lots of, sadly, lots of Christians who don't have access in what they're hearing to the full gospel. And when I talk about the full gospel, I talk about spirit, soul and body, the whole provision made by the Lord Jesus Christ through the salvation that he provided. But you know, we don't have that excuse. We don't have that excuse. There is so much that we have made available in preaching and teaching here as an example. So much encouragement. So much of the Lord has been saying to his people here and right throughout the past. He's been saying, there is this available. There is this available. But you've got to give attention to my word. You've got to mix the hearing with faith. You've got to start to believe and speak. You can't just say anything. Let's finish with Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. God has done a wonderful thing in the provision. The provision of redemption. Mankind did not reach out to the Lord. The Lord reached out to mankind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And as I've said many times before, everlasting life is not just living forever with God. It's a quality of life. It's the quality of living forever with God in his kingdom. And his kingdom is present in us. His kingdom is here today. Praise the Lord. So we're looking at Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We could talk a lot about that blessing of Abraham, but the Bible talks about Sarah receiving strength to conceive seed. It talks about both Abraham and Sarah having strength and health even into their old age. And we see here that there is a redemption from the curse that Jesus has made available. He was made, and something that really comes forward for out of that one for us is being made a curse for us. He voluntarily was made a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come on us through Jesus Christ. We have no conception, really, of just how horrific it was that Jesus was made a curse for us. It wasn't just the physical agony that Jesus went through. He went through the agony, spirit, soul and body. He was made a curse for us. And we can say today, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the redemption that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, that I can say now that I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Glory to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Now, in the healing meetings, we give opportunity for anyone that wants to receive prayer for healing. And the Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I believe that healing is available, strength is available, it's present. God is here. Where two are gathered together, two or three are gathered together, there is Jesus in the midst. He's the head of the church. You've heard the word, you know God's will. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for the redemption provided. We thank you, Lord, that you will take sickness from our midst. I pray that you take sickness from the midst of every person here in the name of Jesus, and that we be responsive to your word. I pray that every person here would be in robust health and strength right to the end of our days, Lord, in the name of Jesus.